Story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
Well, welcome back to another edition of Story Time. We are going to jump back into the Voyage of the Unending Sea campaign. Mitch, we played your campaign again, and if everybody remembers where we left off last time, we left off with Duerdain, our trusty paladin friend, stuck in ghost form and shipped off down a mysterious hallway because of what we think is his logo on his head.
Yeah, we had reached the mountains of madness that were across from the fields of Cruel in the underworld. You guys had went through your judgment, and you all had those symbols on your head. And so this symbol had been described on Duerdain's head as it was circular, and I think a couple of you thought maybe a shield, thought maybe
a plate or something.
Which we discussed later, and it was funny because you were sitting next to your brother Casey, and you had a spoon on your head, so I think a couple people were like, it's got to be a plate.
It's right? a sibling thing, right? Yeah.
So yeah, he was dragged away by these bearded devils down this hallway, and your group was left in this spirit parade, this parade of souls going through the underworld, going, what do we do? And Krieg, of course, wanted to move on. The rest of you guys, maybe some of you would have moved on, but of course, Sanjin couldn't move on. So what did you do as Sanjin?
So, yeah, I decided that Sanjin would not be willing to leave behind somebody because they had already come to rescue him at one point
in time.
No surprise
there. I don't think even if they didn't rescue you.
Right, yeah.
I mean, you probably would have been dead at that point.
Sanjin's pretty righteous.
He'll go after and try to save people.
And so, yeah, I had Cedric, who Magic Mark plays, cast, I think it was Prestidigitation on my forehead.
Some sort of spell.
Yeah, some sort of spell to make a symbol on my forehead that was similar to the coin or plate or whatever it was, and I walked down the hallway and came to a fork in the road. And when I got to the fork in the road, I heard noise coming from, I think it was the left fork in the road. And I just got to the level as a monk where I can understand all languages, things that are spoken, which is pretty helpful. I obviously figured they were demons coming down the hallway.
Because you didn't pick Abyssal to speak.
Nope, that I did not. Never thought I would need that in my life. So I decided to go to the right. I was like, I got to get away from whatever the heck is coming down this hallway. And I started walking down that hallway, tried to roll a stealth check, and didn't necessarily do terribly on it, but their perception was just way better than what my
roll
was.
One of them saw you, unfortunately.
Yep. So they came over and caught me, and in the process, they asked what in the world I was doing over here. I tried to lie my way out of it, tried to say I was told to go this way, I was told to go mine over here, and they were like, nah, you weren't. You were not told to go mine over here. Don't lie to us. Got whipped in the face and started bleeding.
One of them brought a spear down and cut your face, which was not good because you started bleeding.
Right, which ghosts don't bleed.
Yeah, ghosts don't bleed. So, like, you had the symbol on your head, but you immediately brought your hand up and are trying to hide your face because you're bleeding. You're like, I don't want to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
They pick you up and they carry you away. And luckily, where do they bring you?
They bring me to what appears to be the only place to mine in this area, other than maybe down that hallway, but I have no idea what's there. Luckily, they dumped me into a room. And I was just like, I had grabbed a pickaxe earlier from in the hallway and just was like, I just start mining, I guess. I just got to keep doing whatever it is that everybody else is doing and just blend in and look for a chance to escape from here.
Yep.
That probably wasn't going to be the case because there was something more than likely able to prevent me from leaving that room.
Yeah, there was this big, dark, red-eyed dragon that was sitting behind all the miners, these souls that are just endlessly mining, and just sitting on a pile of skulls and gems. And so you're just like freaking out. What do I do? I came to save Duerdain. I don't know where he is. Luckily, Duerdain was in the same chamber, and he spotted you before you spotted him. And so he starts making his way down towards you, and like we said last time, we had a little cameo of a previous PC from another campaign, a campaign, our first campaign that I ran, Zeris, this tiefling rogue that pretty much at the end of the campaign, nobody could stand in the group because he would steal from the players. Everything was fantastic. And so he had ended up here. He had this symbol on his head, which was a coin. And it basically determined that your greatest sin was greed, wealth, like lust for money. And so, of course, this character, Zeris, was here. Dordain starts to make his way down towards you, and he's like, we got to get out of here.
Because he had found a huge gem before that and brought it up to the big dragon.
Gem. And so he's like, we found this gem. Like, and he had seen these miners bringing gems to the dragon, and this gem that he had found was huge. And so he brought it up to the dragon. The dragon, basically to reward these souls who never get to have any sort of food or drink, dips his claw into this disgusting water and drips it on their tongue. And it's like this momentary bitter sweet get to have something to quench your thirst. Except when Dordain drank it, it basically tasted like if there was a way for vinegar to taste even more disgusting than vinegar, that's what it tasted like.
When you combine it with junk that's underneath a dragon's nail, that probably will
do
it.
And in the underworld. Underworld vinegar.
Yeah.
So he brought, he got that. He gave this gem to the dragon, and then he came back to you guys. This gem was big enough that it seemed like this dragon was kind of preoccupied. Mm-hmm. And so you and Dordain planned to leave and sneak away. But there was one other person who wanted to come with you.
Yeah, the totally downtrodden Zeris, who was like, oh, my life is over. I have nothing to live for. Now is like, hey, you got to get me out of here or I'll squeal.
Yeah, we saw like this glint in the eyes of this PC that we remembered being like this terrible, terrible tiefling character. For this moment, you saw the glint of the old Zeris like come back of like, I can use this to my betterment. So you guys were like, all right, well, I guess we can't let him scream. So the three of you made stealth checks. You luckily made it away. You traveled down this tunnel and you could see your group on the other side. However, there were two opposing guards in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so
probably the ones that whipped me earlier.
Yeah, probably those ones. Yep. And Cedric casts a spell that created this fiery pit to appear and the devils start falling into it. And you guys make all these awesome rolls to jump over this pit as the devils are kind of just like, what is going on? Every one of you makes it.
Zeris barely made it.
Barely made it. Yep.
We were kind of hoping he wouldn't make it.
And so you guys get back and what do you guys do?
Well, we decided to go further
as
a group because that was our mission. And Zeris is like, you guys are absolutely nuts. I'm not going that way at all. That is suicide. I'm going to try and get out of here by going back. And we were like, be our guests, whatever. Like you can.
We don't care.
We don't want you here anyways. So you can be our guest and head back
out of our
party to head back out to. Hopefully, maybe. I don't even know how that works with
we'll
death
see if
and
he
trying
can get
to get
out.
Ghost.
Who knows? Maybe we'll never find out.
Maybe he'll just be a ghost. Maybe that's how ghosts enter back into the world. I have no idea. But yeah, so we kept going. And Cedric and Sanjin were talking about this idea of, because it's a cantrip, him just casting these things on our forehead to try and, you know, make us blend into whatever area we're going through. Because we realized that the symbols that have already happened, nothing else had happened to us at this point. So we were like, well, maybe if we cast a coin and a spoon on our foreheads, we'll be fine wherever we go through. Like, that might just be how it works. Like, you make it all the way through, you're rewarded it somehow. Unfortunately, we didn't get to do that before we slid down. We, like, walked off a cliff or something like that.
Dark hole, and you guys are falling. You reach the bottom, and it's complete and utter darkness. And the group is probably at this point wanting to call out to each other because they couldn't see each other. However, what had happened to 5 out of 6 members of the party?
Oh, it was the moment like in the Matrix with Neo. Where the mouth like just gets sewn shut or just has skin grow over it. And we couldn't call out to each other. We could just feel around. But we heard a voice like off to our right or left, depending on where we fell, that said, come with me if you want to live. it was more like, come with me. I know the way to get out of here. Like, just follow me. I'll get you out of here. And somebody said that, and then we heard Liriel say the same thing. So we were like, well, we know that voice. We are going to head to it. And we eventually all found our way to her, and we trusted her. We said, yeah. All right, this is our leader. Like, we obviously can trust that she's going to take us to safety and to freedom from here, because we can't do anything at this point in time.
And so Liriel, she was pretty sure, like, she had this knowledge of how to get out of wherever it was. She knew the way in this darkness. And then somebody handed her, Dordane, I believe, handed her a torch, the torch that one of Krieg's brothers had.
It was the grandma's garment.
Yeah, and so torch. She remembered how to ignite it. She said,
She remembered how to ignite it.
I like to wear my grandmother's garments, and this ever-burning torch lights up, and all of a sudden she's able to tell she's in a dark, dark forest. But as soon as she lit this torch, what happened?
It was straight out of a horror movie.
Yeah.
Where you're like stuck up on this cliff, but she's obviously just a little bit taller than everybody, with these people with mouths sewn shut with their own skin, like grasping for her, like,
trying to scream. And like seeing light, and like she's being like overcome by all these people. And what was the problem? Because she wanted to turn off the light.
She couldn't remember how to turn it off.
And none of you guys could tell her. And
we
couldn't.
We were all like,
we know what it is,
but we can't do it.
And so she has all these people, but she's like, all right, well, I need to lead these people out of here. I know the way out. I have this strong urge to lead these people out of this evil, dark forest. And so you guys make your way through this forest, and eventually you find your way out. You see a light coming from out of the forest.
After being attacked by giant gorillas.
Yeah, there was a bunch of demon gorillas that attacked you and carried some of them away.
Yep.
Which is actually really interesting to note, because Liriel felt there were a couple members that weren't of your group that got taken away by some of these demon gorillas that could turn themselves invisible. And she felt this like extreme loss as they got taken away. Like she failed them.
Yeah.
Even though she didn't know these souls, she felt like she failed them. An extreme, extreme moment of failure. But eventually, you guys made your way out of this dark forest. And it wasn't, of course, it wasn't a good thing.
Yeah.
What can you describe the picture of what
happened?
Yeah,
it was almost like we walked through a massive illusion. Like, hey, there's this forest. Then all of a sudden, we walked through something. And it was a giant pit of fire in front of us. Like, there were creatures that were coming and flying and picking people up and dropping them in the fire, which I think it was the leaders. I think it was the ones with the Liriel had the upside down crown on her head.
Yep, she had the upside down crown.
I'm not
head.
Sure if so, it was the people that were following her, or if it was the people with the crowns themselves that were getting dumped in there.
It was all the followers.
Okay.
And so one of these horned demons that were flying flies down in front of Liriel and says, "This is your eternal torment. Mm-hmm. Go back into the dark forest and lead the souls to us." So basically Liriel's greatest sin was this false leadership that we had talked about with that she was very prideful leader, and so her torment was to lead souls to their eternal damnation in this fire pit, and they would be thrown in, and so she had to continue to lead these people and feel loss as she led them to their doom.
Yeah.
And so you all get picked up and thrown into this pit, which all these other demons are also chopping down trees from this forest and throwing into this fire, burning, keeping the fire going. And Liriel was like, I can't do this. I'm not really held to the laws of the dead. I need to follow after my group. And so she did some sweet dex rolls and made it past these demons. And we said she like ran on a log that was being thrown. Everybody was like Legolas, right?
Yeah.
With the Hobbit, like defying gravity. And she jumped down this pit of fire as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a moment here too where Cedric pulled out his classic classic Joker trope, where he cut his lips open to be able to cast spells.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He took the dagger because he was like, I'm sick of not being able to talk, and just jabbed it into his mouth and cut open his lips.
Which he lost sanity points, which we've been playing with. And every time you guys come across some terrible instance, like Liriel had to roll for like sanity points for this moment because it was like she was just distraught in what had happened. And so we're going through the underworld and everybody's starting to lose sanity at this point. And so Cedric was like, can I lose a point of sanity and rip my mouth open and cast spells? It was pretty crazy. It was pretty disgusting.
We just said that he kind of talked like with the underwater, like, well, I'm going to cast this, because he had like bloody flaps for a mouth, which is
there were no lips.
Yeah,
it was disgusting. Yeah. It was really weird. So you guys all get thrown into this pit or jump into this pit. And you land in this fiery field. You're going further and further down the pit of the abyss. This huge fiery field. There is this coal walkway that the souls are walking on. You guys start to walk down this path. You can't even see where the end of this flaming furnace is. And what happened?
Well, some more of these, I think they were the same creatures, came and picked up demons. Cedric and people that also had the sword or dagger or whatever it was on his forehead, and kind of like picked them up, flew over the field, found a spot where the fire was burning particularly hot that had other people, and just bloop, just dropped them right in that area. And it was far enough away that we were like, does this fire hurt us? Like, how do we get him out of this? And I was like, well, we just got to go for it because he saved me. Like, we cannot leave somebody behind that is a mortal being who doesn't deserve to be here yet. We have to go and get him.
And me and Cedric, Magic Mark, had a really interesting conversation about, like, your character, it's the worst pain he's ever felt. But as soon as you're dropped into this area, you feel like you deserve this. His greatest sin was the fact that he was willing at this point with everything that he's gone through to sacrifice pretty much anyone, like you guys, anyone, to get what his goal was. And so he gets dropped and he just felt the weight of that, like how terrible a thing that was, be dropped on him. And as much as it was so painful, he was like, I deserve this. Mm-hmm. I deserve to be here. And so, yeah, you guys, Sanjay and I think once again kind of led the charge and said, we need to get him. And you guys all ran out into this field. And basically you had to keep running into these pits where these people were burning to try and hide among those groups of people, or these flying devils would come down and pick you guys up. And so we made this like a skill challenge, and only one of you guys made it. You made it.
Yep.
And it was another bittersweet moment, because every pit you made it to, you would roll a will save for your sanity.
Yep.
And so you got to Cedric. Did he want to come with you?
Nope.
So what did you have to do?
I had to carry him back.
Like kicking and screaming, you had to carry him back.
Yep.
You made it back, however. The rest of the group got picked up and thrown back on the path. And basically these demons were just like, follow the path. This is not your punishment.
Well, because I think he cast a prestidigitation on himself when he got back, because it was like, otherwise he's going to get picked back up.
And Cedric, changed
and
his symbol.
And Sanjay, I basically said when we got back, he just drops to his knees and is like exhausted and freaked out and like, I don't know if I can
go
on.
Do you remember
anymore.
What you had went from at that point? You started
I started
off with a sanity
at 14
rating of 14
that night.
And going through
all sorry,
that.
No, sorry, I started out at 12 that night. And at that point, I lost five, Justin saving Cedric. Yeah.
So everybody's dropping, but there was this moment of like, holy cow, Sanjay just
lost
a
total
of
10 over the course of the next story times that we're going to tell. Yeah. But it was in the abyss. I've lost a lot at
and
this
so,
point in time.
You role played that when you got back. You were just like, I don't think you even spoke. I think it was just like you needed help getting up and traveling on. You were just messed up from traveling to these fire pits where this burning flames just took over your very soul.
Mm-hmm. It didn't seem to affect me as much as it did Cedric, though,
no,
from what I'm understanding. But yeah, it was a pretty rough night of we just had to rescue people and face some pretty terrible things along the way.
Thankfully, the group is still intact as far as everybody's there. And you guys continued on this coal path. And we'll have to find out in the next story time where else in this abyss you were led.
Thanks for listening to this week's story time. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters and what they have done within our world. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Storytime.